prayer concerns, people that need to know that you are a God of grace. And we pray for them that they would come to understand that through the scriptures that you have given. And we pray that as we open your word tonight, that we might be instructed from your word, and that we might become a people of your word. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So everybody's probably wondering what I'm going to talk about, right? Yeah. We're going to start, first of all, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. This is going to be our foundation. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 1. Colossians 2:1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now those verses are going to serve as our foundation for everything that we're going to talk about. Now, whether or not we get it all concluded tonight, that remains to be seen. If not, we'll be here next month continuing. But what I want to talk about, and the title, I had Tracy put it in the bulletin, two U's, three E's, and maybe a J. And I add to that maybe a J or two, maybe another one. And what I have told you is that I like to talk about things that nobody else is talking about. And some of these things might be just a little controversial. So another thing I'll begin with, especially for anyone out there, I want to begin with the personal opinion alert. Some of the things that I will say might be controversial. You might not agree with. Maybe you will agree with. But all I can say is we have to think, and I want to put this word up here again, with this logic. Because we have a scripture, and our main verse is Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We've got to be on our guard. And the only guide we have is this book. And we have to know it. We have to understand it, we have to read it, we have to teach it, study it, everything. Because there's going to be attacks against us because we believe this stuff. And I say the word logic because we want to think that way. Do you all know this song? This was used by Leonard Nimoy, started this as his character of Spock on Star Trek. And this became the Vulcan salute. But did you know that it was borrowed from the Hebrew Levitical priesthood? The priest made this sign. That's where it started. And Leonard Nimoy kind of borrowed it from them. But be that as it may, we're going to talk about logic. And when I say these letters, the U's and the E's and the J's, I want to talk about first the U's. So there's going to be two of them. And the first one is going to be this. UFO, and the second one, UAP. UFO, of course, standing for unidentified flying objects, and UAP, unidentified aerial or anomaly phenomena, which I love that word, phenomena. You know, there's just something about when you say it, phenomena. Now, why do I want to talk about these things? Because everybody else is talking about them. Just last night on the news, another story about the government cover-up of UFO information. And here's what was said last night, that they have these alien bodies, and they've taken something like DNA out of them, and they're mixing it with humans to create a new race so that they can lead people to thinking that we're, you know, we don't want to be invaded by people from outer space, so we're going to look for peace. They said there's no alien activity now, but this was all in the past. And, you know, I saw that on the Outer Limits way back. When did anyone ever watch The Outer Limits? You know, back in the 60s? I mean, that was a show that just scared me to death. Because when you turned it on, there was nothing wrong with your television set. We are controlling transmission. And they did one program where they took a guy and transformed him into this alien that had come from another planet. And he was to come down and land at the United Nations and would hopefully bring peace to the world, because they think, well, we don't want to be fighting these aliens. This guy was telling this as truth. When I watched this story last night, it was truth. I saw another congressman, and they played it again last night, and I saw him before. Do you know who, is his first name Tim Burchett? I like him. He's really good. I think he's from Tennessee, maybe. But he said, if all of the facts about UFOs were revealed, you wouldn't be able to sleep nights. I said, oh, really? And listen, he is supposedly a believer. And so I think, all right, we got to talk about this. We've got to talk about these things because the subject comes up. And we need to have a good response. Because a lot of times the response of believers is, oh, I don't know about that. I think we just have to know. Now, I'm gonna tell you right up front my position. And I'm glad to say that the Vice President of the United States agrees with me, because he says that the UFOs and all that, they're not aliens from another planet, they are demons. And I thought, you know, there's something spiritual about these things, about the nature of it. Now, another thing I want to show you is why I want to talk about this. And this is something that I don't know if I ever told you. I don't know who I may have told. In 1976, there was this celebration, and I want to see if I can write it up here. It was like the believer's answer to Woodstock. Do we all know what Woodstock was? I went to this thing, and at the time, there it would trade it off from being up near Erie, Pennsylvania, and then sometimes down toward Mount Union, Pennsylvania. This particular year, 1976, it was near Erie. And it was Jesus 76 is what they called it. It's a couple years ago. And this particular night, I remember, Bill Bright was speaking. Deb was there, but weren't you there that we didn't know each other then at this time. But anyway, what they did is they took this. And they made a stage. Do you remember this?
I remember seeing the big Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, that's all right. They made a stage inside of these letters. And all of the, it was mostly music, but, you know, there were speakers and so forth. And they were all performing in there, and this was all out in the open. So we're out in the grass and everybody's watching us, and it's getting dark, but we're sitting there, and I think Bill Bright was speaking, and I looked up, and there are like maybe four to six lights that I saw up in the sky, and they were moving. They were not still. They were moving. They would go like this. You'd see the thing go up, slow down, stop, come back, slow down, stop, and then it'd go back. And they were all doing that. And it was kind of synchronous in a way. And I thought, what is that? And you know, a lot of people have seen things. We've seen things in the sky that the reason why they call them unidentified, because I don't know what it was. But I think that you know, that sort of started me on thinking about these things and what is going on. You know, this is a big rally. People are here to talk about God and study His Word, and there's this thing going on in the sky. How many people saw it then? I don't know. I don't know, but I remember seeing that in 1976. That was a couple years ago. Now, I've been doing a little bit of homework. See this book, Crash Go the Chariots. This book was written in answer to a book that was out. This was published in 1972. Before that, a book was called Chariots of the Gods by Von Däniken. If you've ever heard of that. His contention, and they have a series, television series on it now, his contention was that everything that happened, that we see things that can't explain, happened with ancient astronauts. They came from other planets, you know, years and years ago, and did these things in the past. And they have television programs about it now called Ancient Aliens. This book goes through all the things that he said. This is the guy that wrote this book is a believer, and some, you know, some pretty amazing things that he writes in here. This was $1.25. Now, that's the price on the book. You couldn't get that today for $1.25. But that shows you how old it is. I have some other articles that I've looked at. These are on the internet right now. Evidence for UFOs is mounting, but some Christians worry they're demonic. How can we discern the truth? Very interesting. Here's UFOs, aliens, and Christianity. And one of our friends there in that picture, if you can see that. Which again, it just amazes me why someone thinks an alien would look like that. You know, you look at God's creation and the people all around us and that God made us. We don't look like that. Here's another one. What should Christians make of our culture's growing interest in UFOs? And here's the one. Vance says he's looking into UFOs. I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons. Yeah, I like him. And here, but what if aliens exist? Now, whether you ever think about these things or not, and maybe I'm just the weird one here, I think about them. People are talking about it. Supposedly, in the year 2017, they took the lid off and people started discussing more and more, and President Trump has said he's going to release government UFO files. You know, big whoop. Go ahead, release them, do what you want. We have to understand that there are going to be challenges to our faith. And some of the things these articles are about, it's like, okay, what if they came out and said, yeah, there is other planets with life and. We have to decide about it. I personally don't believe that there is. And to me, the thing that convinces me of that is Star Trek, Star Wars, all of that stuff. Because it's just funny how we assume certain things about what they might look like or what they think or how they act. I think... One series of books that we read called The Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis. One book in particular he writes, and I think he's talking about Venus, that there's life there, but they're not fallen. And so they are protected from meeting anyone else like us because we have fallen. Interesting concept, but you know, I just don't see it. Now, why has all this come up? I mean, what's going on? Well, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 1. Second Kings chapter 1. Now this is going to be a little lengthy, but hang with me. Second Kings 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. Which incidentally, I told you the two U's, this is the first E, Elijah. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sentest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king said unto him, a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. I'm a family man. I have a family. Don't kill me like you've killed those others. This guy has learned his lesson. And behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now, Elijah is the first E. In chapter 2, we're going to get the second E, and we're going to call him Elisha. Now, I've heard that pronunciation from someone, and I thought that's good, because we always said Elijah and Elisha. I think it's easier to distinguish if you say Elijah and Elisha. Chapter 2, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This is why I'm talking about the ease. Here we have Elijah and Elisha. We're going to see the other E in a moment. But Elijah is taken up in this chariot of fire, taken up to heaven. And this is why many believe that he will be one of those two witnesses in the book of Revelation, because he did not die. God took him. And this is where we start seeing this picture of a chariot of fire and horses of fire. What was that like? I don't know. But it was God. God was the one taking him up. Now, the other E is Ezekiel. And we won't need to go to Ezekiel chapter 1. And I want to tell you something. Ezekiel is weird. Ezekiel is different. He had to do different things than any of the others. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month. Now he's careful to date this, and that 30th year probably is the 30th year of the captivity of Judah in Babylon. He said, As I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, that's where we need to focus, what Ezekiel said, I saw visions of God. That's what he's seeing. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. You see the descriptive language here, these things that Ezekiel is seeing. First of all, it's associated with a whirlwind. And when you look up the word whirlwind in the scripture, you find things like that's God talked to Job out of the whirlwind. So it's always portrayed as something that God is behind. There was another politician that used this word whirlwind. And here's the quote. He said, You have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. And that was a senator saying that to a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. Because whirlwind is one of those words that brings up immediate images to our mind when you hear that. We hear Ezekiel is looking at this. He sees this whirlwind and this fire enfolding itself. What did that look like? I don't know. But it was amazing, whatever it was. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. So now we see four living creatures. And I'm looking at this word likeness. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." After our likeness. Now, one of the important things, we've covered this before, when he says, "Let us," and it's our image, our likeness, it definitely is speaking of the fact that God is plural. You have the entire Trinity involved in the creation of man. But that word likeness, and I've often thought about that. We're created after God's likeness. Does he have a body like we have? Does he look similar to us? I don't know. We talk about the qualities that we have, that we are self-determinant creatures. We are aware of our surroundings, much as God is. Maybe that's part of the likeness. I don't know. In Genesis chapter 5, the word is there again. Look at verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." Now he's passed it down. And Seth says he's created in the likeness of Adam. So there's something that he's passing down. But anyway, back to Ezekiel. He's describing these four living creatures, verse 6, "And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went." And he goes on describing this. Think of, now just try to picture what he's seeing here. And there have been people down through the years, and they say, Ezekiel had encounters with UFOs. And it's just funny that this is the way UFOs are often described. And this thing of they when they would go, they went straight, but there was no turning. So they had four faces all the way around, so they could go one direction, and when it's time to go another direction, they just went that way. They didn't have to turn. And someone has said, you know, some of these UFOs supposedly have been clocked at something like 7,000 miles an hour and then suddenly do a right angle turn. Logic would tell you, do you know what would happen to you from the law of physics if you did a turn like that, a right angle turn at 7,000 miles an hour? You're not going to survive. So they're all described in that way, but here, and they do it because of these things that Ezekiel is seeing. Now, this is my contention. Ezekiel says he saw the visions of God. And if he is seeing these living creatures, these angelic beings, and he's describing them, and this is what he's seeing, I'm thinking that somehow, what would a fallen angelic being look like, but perhaps like this? And perhaps some of these things that people are seeing, the way they describe it, and what I told you, what I saw, the way it's described, you think, nothing we know of moves like that. It's almost a spiritual essence in a sense. And so to me, I think we have to be on our guard that we're not going to be persuaded, and that verse from Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you. Just beware. We serve God. And I believe that we are a very special creation to God. There are others that say, well, you know, the universe is so vast. And God certainly could have created life somewhere else. And really, when you hear the stories, they're coming at it as though it's an evolution kind of thing that's happened on these other planets. And because they just don't want to think of, well, a vast universe, they're like, we're the only ones. Well, I'm kind of wondering if the universe is really as big as they think it is. Because we know that there's a lot of ice out there, and frozen water that would be clear would almost act as a mirror and would reflect all of these other stars. And so the size might even, you know, maybe isn't as big as we think, as some people think it is. Again, we're back to that word logic. These are the things that Ezekiel is seeing. In chapter 8 of Ezekiel, you got the same thing. Chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And God took him into Jerusalem and showed him what he saw, the condition of the people. You can see that in some of this chapter. If you look at, go down to verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz, a false god. And he's showing Ezekiel. Ezekiel, this is what the people are following. They're following something false. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And I showed you this before. This is a sunrise service right there. They're watching the sun. They are worshiping the sun. They're not interested in the Lord. And God is showing Ezekiel, this is what's going on with my people. Ezekiel is seeing all of these marvelous things. The visions of God, he says. And God is talking to him and showing him the truth. In chapter 10 of Ezekiel, verse 1, that I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And as you go on, verse 13, as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third was the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kebar. So he's seeing it again. He's having this vision. He sees this. And when it says one had the face of a cherub, another description he has, it had the face of an ox or a calf. And it's quite possible that a cherub resembled a calf. And when he's describing their feet, he's describing a hoof on a calf as the one of these angelic beings that he's seeing. It's absolutely amazing. And the problem has been people look at what Ezekiel saw and they say, well, he saw angelic beings and probably were UFOs. And especially the ancient astronaut thing, they say, those were ancient astronauts, aliens from other planets, coming and involving themselves with Ezekiel. But Ezekiel tells us they were visions of God. We can't take passages of Scripture like that and say, well, you know, that was these aliens involving themselves with Ezekiel and with the other people at that time. No. No, it was God. And it's back to that scripture in Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you. Because they're going to say these things. They're going to say crazy things. And we have to stand solid on what the scripture says. And, you know, don't fall for the trap that says, oh, just think, the universe is so vast, there just has to be other planets out there with life on them like ours. Oh, why? Why do there have to be? God did something special here. And he had a plan for the redemption of man, which fell. It's something that God had planned. Years ago, there was a song that Larry Norman, you know who Larry Norman was? He was in big time contemporary Christian music. And his song, he talked about if there's life on other planets, He said, I'm sure that he's been there and died for them too. Larry, no. We're talking about something that is special to us. And for some reason, people just don't, they just don't like that. Now, what I want to do the next time when we talk about this, because I feel like that there is something spiritual about all this, that the people are seeing something. I mean, you can't deny it. They're seeing something. Even former President Obama was asked about UFOs. Are UFOs real? He said, yeah, they're real, but I don't think that they're aliens from other planets. Yeah, people are seeing something. That night in 1976, I saw something. What did I see? I don't know. It wasn't aliens from another planet. That I do know. And so this is why I think when we look at this, and we can go through and look at, and we'll do this next time, that phrase, the whirlwind, that occurs. And a lot of people want to say, well, that whirlwind, that was a description of those UFOs coming out of the whirlwind. And that fire enfolding itself, what did that look like? What did that mean? I don't know. Ezekiel, I think, is doing the best he could to describe to us what he saw. But he's seeing a vision of heaven. He's seeing visions of God. He's describing things that he saw that were right from the throne of God. And this is why I think, and what we will delve into next time, that if that's what angelic beings look like, the fallen ones perhaps have the same characteristics, the same look. I saw a program once done by believers, and they said you read about the people that say they were abducted. Have you ever seen any of those stories? People say, I was abducted by aliens, and they said there's always the association of the smell of sulfur. Oh, that's interesting. And the message they give is always one of, you know, everyone should just get along and don't emphasize one religion over another. You know, those are messages right from hell itself. An attempt to deceive people. And we're back to that verse in Colossians. Beware lest any man spoil you. And the things that he lists, the deceit, and after the tradition of men. Listen, this is what we're talking about. The tradition of men. And it's after the world, things in the world. We are going to be challenged like we never have been before. When they bring out these files, these UFO files, it's going to be all over the news, and they're going to say, we definitely know, we have conclusive proof that there is life on other planets. And all of the believers are going to say, oh boy, what do we do with that? We need to stand firm and say, nope, I know what's going on here. This is an attempt to lead us away from the truth. Want to lead us away from the truth of his word, what he has revealed. And we've been given the warning, beware. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for what you have done for us on the cross. Something we couldn't do for ourselves. That because of the cross, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have been forgiven, and we have been raised up and seated with him in the heavenly places. We thank you for that, and we pray that that's where our focus would remain. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what they are. One is Job, and I mentioned that. And the other is Jeremiah. And there are some others. But we'll go over those next month.